Let's look back at verse number 1 here in Jeremiah 3. The Bible says, "They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord." The Bible says in verse 2, "Lift up thine eyes in the high places, and see where thou hast not been lined with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed." Now, when we look at this passage, we have to understand that the book of Jeremiah is written to those that are dwelling in Jerusalem. And he brings up a lot of different things. He brings up Israel, he brings up Judah, but specifically he's trying to warn Jerusalem to not go down the same path of Israel, not go down the same path of Judah as a whole, and not to go down this dark road, but rather to turn back to the Lord. But he says there's a problem that they have. The problem is that they have a whore's forehead, is what he describes. And you say, what's a whore's forehead? It's someone that refuses to be ashamed. Refuses to be ashamed. And if there was a book of the Bible today that typifies the United States of America, it's Jeremiah. And so the title of the sermon this morning is this: America has a whore's forehead. America has a whore's forehead. And if you're already offended, it's only going to get worse, all right? But let's understand what a whore's forehead is like before we dig in and we really start to apply the Bible for a moment. Go to Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're going to spend a lot of time in Jeremiah this morning, but if you go to Ezekiel, look at chapter number 3, and let's get a couple definitions. Now, when it says a whore's forehead, you know, what does this look like? Does this mean they have something painted on their face that just says, "I'm a whore"? No, but the Bible does give you a picture of what this is talking about. It says in Ezekiel chapter 3, look at verse number 8. "Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." So the Bible says that your forehead and the countenance of your face is going to have a particular look, and you're supposed to have a strong look. One of the aspects of a whore's forehead is that it has a strong look. Now, what would be the opposite of a whore's forehead? Someone that's ashamed. Whenever you're ashamed, you know what you do? You look down. You know what you do when you're ashamed? You go like this. "But you can't see my forehead, can you?" They cover their forehead. They look down. They feel embarrassed. You know, someone that has shamefacedness, they cover their face. That's not a whore's forehead. A whore's forehead is looking straight up and proud and out and has a strong look because they don't feel like they've done anything wrong. That's what a whore's forehead is like. Go, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 17. Go to Revelation chapter number 17. And some of these women, they wear it like a badge of honor. Being a whore is like a badge of honor to the celebrities today. It's a badge of honor to the musicians today. It's a badge of honor to a lot of people. Well, it encompasses the spirit, which is denoted in the book of Revelation as the spirit of Babylon. Now, when we talk about Babylon in the Bible, it calls her the great whore. The great whore. And look at this, what it says about her in Revelation chapter 17. Let's read verse number 1. The Bible says this: "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations and of the earth." Notice that the great whore has something on her forehead. It's just proclaiming, "I'm a great whore." And you know what? America is no different today. They love to go around and champion their whoredom today. They love to go and brag about how much of a whore they are today. That's why a lot of people think that they are Babylon. I think it makes a lot of sense. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 8. 2 Kings chapter number 8. There is nothing to glory in about being a whore. It is disgusting. It is filthy. There is nothing noteworthy. There is nothing praiseworthy. Yet, women will gloat about this because they have a whore's forehead. They refuse to be ashamed. They can do the worst things imaginable. And not only are they not ashamed, they even brag about it. They even boast in it. They talk about how wonderful they are, about how much whoredom they commit. This is a spiritual battle here. And in 2 Kings chapter number 8, look at verse number 11. The Bible says this. And he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. So notice what the opposite reaction. Hey, if I have a steadfast countenance, what does that mean? I have a strong countenance. It has the same look. I'm not dismayed. I'm not turned aside. But then when I finally become ashamed, what happens? You break down and you start weeping. That's what the whore should be doing. The whore should be looking down and crying and weeping for all of her sin, for all of her filthiness, for the horrible, wicked sins that she's committed. You know, it used to be that a woman walking home after a night of shame was called the walk of shame. Today, women lift up their head high and they glory in their fornication. They glory in their whoredom today. It's disgusting. It's a reproach on this country today how people can't be ashamed. Go to one more place for me. Go, if you would, to Ezra chapter number 9. Ezra chapter number 9. We're learning about what it means to have a whore's forehead. What does this look like? It's someone that looks with a proud look. It's someone that has a high look. It's someone that won't be dismayed. It's someone that's not looking down. They're not covering their face. They're not weeping. That would be a picture of shame. Ezra chapter 9, look at verse 6. And I said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens." So we see the opposite of someone that has a whore's forehead is someone that blushes, is someone that's embarrassed to even look up because of all the shame of their sin today. And you know what? America is not ashamed of its sin. America does not blush at the wickedness and the evil in our country. And if I were to look at America, it's a time of mourning. It's a time of shame. It's a time of reproach. There is nothing to celebrate about our nation. You say, well, what if Trump got elected? Same message. But you know what? If Biden gets elected, it is worse. It's demonstrably worse. The guy is a devil. The guy is filled with demonic spirits in his body. And I'm going to prove this from the words that he says. This guy is influenced by the devil. He is like modern-day Antichrist, if you ask me. This guy is wicked as hell. Go if you would to Jeremiah chapter number 6. Trump is wicked. Biden is like filled with devils. So there's no good option for this country. And this country refuses to be ashamed for its sin. And it looks like Biden's going to be the president. And then Harris pretty soon after that, right? Quicker than they can count the votes. Jeremiah chapter number 6, look at verse 15. We go back to Jeremiah. It says this. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. The Bible is reproaching Judah. It's reproaching Jerusalem. It's saying, hey, were you guys ashamed whenever you committed abomination? And it says they weren't ashamed at all. You say, why? Because they had a whore's forehead today. Look at verse 12 and verse 8, chapter 8, look at verse 12. Keeps bringing up this point. Chapter 8, verse number 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. It's saying it's impossible for them to be ashamed. Why? Because of that whore's forehead that they've got. He says, therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. The Bible warns about a nation. The Bible warns about a group of people. They get so hardened in their hearts. They refuse the Word of God so much. They get to such a place where it's impossible for them to be ashamed. It's impossible for them to feel bad. It's impossible for them to blush. Why? Their consciences have been seared today. And I fear that in America, there's so many people, they have their conscience seared today, their past feeling. There's no way that they can feel bad or can feel any kind of reproach. This is a bad state for our country to be in. This is a bad state for any group of people to be in. Now go if you go to Isaiah, Jeremiah. It's right before Isaiah. Look at chapter number 3, very beginning of Isaiah. Look at chapter number 3. Now I have 3 points this morning of what we should be ashamed of, but America's not ashamed of. 3 things that America should be ashamed of today that they're not ashamed of. And that first point is this: we should be ashamed of our leaders. How can anybody be excited about the leadership that we have in this country? Even if it was Trump, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. He's not someone to brag about. He's not someone to get excited about. But even worse is Biden. Even worse is Harris. And, you know, the Bible warns about bad leadership. And it says whenever you have bad leadership, the people are heavily going to be oppressed. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8. For Jerusalem is ruined. That doesn't sound good. And Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. You know what their countenance says? They don't feel ashamed. They have that hoarse forehead. He says, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Not only do they have a hoarse forehead, they're going around bragging about it. They're bragging about their sin. He says, woe unto their soul, for they have their rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Bible says when you have a child ruling over you, he's going to destroy you. Not just a child, though. It says a woman. You say, well, what about an African-American Indian woman? It's still going to ruin you, my friend. And Harris looks more white than she looks black. Just get over the fact. You know, at what percentage of black are you? Like, you're like 0.001% black, you're now a black person? That would be all of us in this room. Even the most albino person would have like 0.001% black, you know, DNA. We all have mixed race and mixed everything, every kind of an ethnicity. Who cares about skin color anyways? But you know what? The Bible says that this city was ruined. This city is going to be destroyed. It says they're going to be greatly oppressed when they have women ruling over them. And you know what? I don't care who that offends, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that women should not be in charge. Women should not lead anything outside of the home. That's where their domain is. That's what they should be leading. Sorry that the Bible offends you. I didn't write the Bible. And it seems like the only people that vote for this nonsense are the Democrats. The Democrats love this junk. You know who votes for Democrats? The spiritually dead today. You know who votes for the Democrats? The twice dead. You know who votes for the Democrats? The physically dead. They get all the dead. It's like the party of the dead. And they just all vote for this nonsense. But you know what? Republicans aren't that much better. Remember Palin? Oh, yeah. And you know what? Harris said now that she's going to be, you know, supposedly vice president-elect or whatever, she claims, she's like, well, this is going to be one great step for women. I'm not going to be the first or the last. I might be the first woman elected in this office, but I'm not going to be the last. She's paving the way to just destroy our country. You know, there's all kinds of TV shows where they constantly had a woman president trying to desensitize people, trying to get them used to having a woman in office today. And you know what? It's a shame. You really think that the Muslim nations look at America with a woman potential president and oh, wow, why didn't we think about this great idea? You think that the Russians and the Chinese and the Japanese, you really think in these cultures they're going to have respect to a woman president? They don't even let their women speak back to them. They put them in a hijab. They demean women. And you think they're going to have respect for a woman president? Now I can see why it's a great whore. When we literally have a woman leading the nation potentially. It's disgusting. Makes no sense. And you know what? This Kamala Harris is a literal whore too. She's a whore in every sense of the word. She, in her late 20s, had an adulterous affair with Willie Brown, who was 60 years old and married. Willie Brown, in his past life, was a lawyer to pimps. He was a lawyer to literal pimps in prostitution. That was what he was doing. Then he became the mayor of San Francisco. What a godly place this is. Then he has an adulterous affair with lots of women, one being Kamala Harris, and then he appoints her to the state commission. So apparently, if you want to get into office, you have to be a whore to the most disgusting, filthy men on the planet. You know, I don't remember that in high school. I felt like in high school they were like, you know what, this is how you become elected and you get constituents and you have to get people to vote for you. Apparently all you have to do is just sleep with a dirty old man. That's how you get elected into office today, is just by being a literal whore. Now go to Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs chapter number 29. You say, well, what do you think? Do you think it's good for America that these people are in office? No. It's horrible. It's horrifying. Our country should be embarrassed. Our country should be ashamed today. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, look at verse number 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. It's a day of mourning today. It's a day of mourning that we have leadership that's like this. It's a day of mourning that we have the leaders that we have in America where they don't care about the Word of God. They don't care about righteousness. They don't care about holiness. They have no moral integrity, yet they give lip service to it all day long, don't they? They claim to be really upright and really moral and really loving and how they even love God. Well, you know what? Kamala Harris has a whore's forehead today. A whore's forehead. She's not even ashamed of this history. She'll even say that she did it. She's not like, yeah, I did. She's like, yeah, I did. Well, look at Proverbs 30. Look at Proverbs 30 and look at verse 20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. This is Kamala Harris in a verse. She's like, I haven't done anything bad. I haven't done anything wicked. Yes, you did. She should be put to death, and we're going to get there in a second. Let's get her puppet, Biden. Let's talk about him for a second. Not only is Kamala Harris a whore, but her running mate is filled with devils. This guy is so satanic, and he delivered a speech last night. And it's mind-boggling how these people don't understand what they're saying. But this is what Biden said in his speech last night. I pledge to be a president who seeks not to divide but to unify. Okay, the guy that said, if you don't vote for me, you're not black? That guy's seeking not to divide our nation. Look, this party is sick, it's gross, it's disgusting. Never in my life have I gone out soul winning and I run into an African American, someone who's black, and they start bringing up race to me in the middle of my gospel presentation. You know why it is? Because they are pretending like every white person hates them or something. I'm literally going into the ghetto, opening my Bible, trying to get you saved, and you have to talk crap on me like I hate you or something. Why would I hate you? I don't hate black people. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't look at the door and think like, which skin color is this person? I just knock every single door. And I try to give the gospel to every single person. And you know, our church this morning is filled with every single color. Every single color. You know why? Because I don't care. If you care about color, you're the racist. Not me. If you don't like me because I'm white and saying these words, it's because you're racist. Amen. And you know what? It's sick that I have to go and get interrupted in the middle of my gospel and they tell me about how much white people hate black people. I'm like, what does that have to do with the fact that Jesus died on the cross again? I feel like he died for everyone. Isn't that the whole essence of the gospel here? You know, he doesn't care about color. You know, these black Hebrew Israelites are the ones that care about color. That's a different sermon. But Biden is claiming he's not seeking to divide. Listen to what he says on this. We have to stop treating our opponents as our enemies. Oh, yeah, like Trump? Are they going to stop villainizing Trump? I mean, they just say these things. It's like they don't even understand what they're saying. Every single day, all news media, all they can do is villainize Trump every single second. And you know what? As evil as Trump is, it sometimes makes me like him a little bit more, just how much they demonize him. It's just like, talk about treating your opponents as enemies. That's ridiculous. Then he refers to the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, to everything there's a season. And then he says, a time to build, a time to reap, and a time to sow, and a time to heal. You know what he did? He cherry-picked all the positive ones. Not to, like, break down, not to rend, you know, not to destroy. I mean, just like, he just cherry-picks all the ones. This is a time to heal in America. Oh, I bet it is, buddy. This is what he said. Go over to Daniel chapter 11. Go to Daniel chapter 11. This is eerie, my friend. Go to Daniel chapter number 11 in your Bible. Biden said this, Americans have called upon us to marshal the forces of decency, the forces of fairness, to marshal the forces of science, and the forces of hope in the great battles of our time. You know why he said that? Because he's filled with an antichrist demonic spirit. Look what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 11. Look at what it says in verse 37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the Antichrist is going to praise the God of forces. He's going to praise a strange God that nobody's ever heard of. It's called the Green New Deal. It's called environmentalism. It's called this wicked, evil agenda. And you know what? It's coming to America. It's coming to this world where there's going to be a false God who gives honor to the God of forces. There is no such God. There's only one God. It's Jehovah God. It's God the Father. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Ghost. That's the only God that exists. This guy is filled with a demonic, evil spirit. He gets worse. It gets worse. At the end of his speech, he says, I began thinking about a hymn. Look, these people, they're literally the party of Satan, yet they give lip service to God. Why? Because they have a hoarse forehead. You know, in Jerusalem, they weren't going around pretending like they had another God. They're pretending to serve the God of the Bible. They have religion. It's a false religion, though. They give lip service to God, yet they're the most wicked and evil people on the planet. It's no new thing under the sun. Thinking about a hymn. He says, it captures the faith that sustains me and which I believe sustains America. So he says, this hymn not only is for him personally, but this hymn is for America. Then he quotes this hymn. Go to Psalms 91, if you would. Go to Psalms 91, if you would. The title of the hymn is called On Eagle's Wings. Now, he doesn't give the title. This is what he says. He just quotes a couple verses or stanzas of this. He says, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, and make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. This is the hymn that he quotes for America today. Now, this hymn is based on Psalms 91. And, you know, these lyrics are not necessarily bad. There's not necessarily anything wrong with it. But that's to go to show how satanic this guy truly is. Because if you look at verse number 1 and 2, look what the Bible says. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So the psalm starts out by saying, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to put my faith in the Lord. You have to have that context for the rest of the psalm. Otherwise, it doesn't apply. You have to be putting your faith in the Lord. Now, I want you to look at a couple more verses here. Look at verses 11. He says this, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, in this hymn, that he quoted, the passage that he ended with. He said, and holds you in the palm of his hand. This is the next lyrics in this song. For to his angels, he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands, they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now let's pause for a moment on this passage, okay? What's the point of this passage? The passage is this. If you trust in the Lord and you're serving God, even though some evil may befall you, God will step in and catch you. God will catch you and protect you. God is willing to guide you. And even no matter what difficulty you go through, even if you were going to hurt yourself, he would give his angels charge to come and save you and rescue you from danger. But there's a key here. You had to be trusting in God. It's not just to every single person. But you know what people like to do? They like to take these passages and rip them out of context. Go, if you would, to Luke chapter 4. Go to Luke chapter 4. You know somebody else uses this passage in the Bible? This is uncanny, my friend. This is unprecedented. Look at Luke chapter number 4. Look at verse number 9. This is talking about the devil tempting Jesus in the wilderness. Look at verse number 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil is using the Bible to kill Jesus, to try and twist the words of God in order to confuse Jesus and for him to fall, for him to sin, for him to destroy himself. And you know what? It's the same message that Biden has. Hey, God's going to protect us. We're in the palm of his hand. We're on eagle's wings, even though you don't trust in God. That's a lie from the devil. He must have been filled with the devil when he thought about those words. The devil must have come and whispered in his ear, hey, say this one. It's the same lie I've been telling for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's the same one I use against Jesus Christ. Hey, tell America that God's going to protect you and that God's going to carry you on eagle's wings and that God's not going to let you dash your foot upon a stone. But don't tell them the fact that you have to actually trust in him. Don't tell them the fact that you're not supposed to serve false gods. Don't tell them that just being a wicked, evil whore, he's going to just catch you from that. No, God's not going to catch you from all the whoredom that you're committing, America. This guy is filled with devils. This guy is filled with evil spirits. He is wicked. I don't care how much lip service he gives to God. He's always getting it wrong, like every other false prophet out there. Not only this, not only should he be ashamed of Biden, not only should he be ashamed of Kamala Harris, how about in Delaware, they elected a senator named Sarah McBride? She was born a man. And it's open. I didn't like privately discover that. She's an open tranny. An open transgender is now elected into the Senate as the first open one. Okay, we know there's been other ones, all right, Michelle. We know. And I'm sure she's not the first either in our politicians. You think that she's the first? You're crazy. These people are sick. These people are disgusting. Go to Leviticus chapter 20. This is what Sarah McBride said. She's going to inspire more trans people to follow in her footsteps and run for public office. I think she's right. She is going to inspire more open faggots, more open trans freaks to run office. How can America not be ashamed when you literally have a guy pretending to be a girl in your Senate? What kind of nonsense today? It's like the Statue of Liberty. Oh yeah, man pretending to be a woman, huh? I guess that embodies our country. The whore's forehead, the tranny, disgusting, sodomite filth in this country today. Oh, God bless America. You're delusional. You're sick. You're perverted. What do you want him to bless? What is there to bless? Which leader are you going to pray for? You know, these Republicans, they love to quote Romans 13 when Trump's in office. Oh, I'm praying for our president, and I love him, and we need to get behind Trump. Are they going to have that same attitude towards Biden? I hope not. I hope finally they're like, well, maybe we're misinterpreting this. Maybe we need to look at some more verses in the Bible or something. I mean, it's sick today. And you know what? I can understand, you know, no leader's going to be perfect. Leaders have sin, and you're still supposed to give them honor. But you know what? I'm not going to give honor to a pedophile. I'm not going to honor these literal whores and whoremongers. I'm not going to sit here and honor a trans faggot period. I don't care what the Bible says about honoring the authority. Look, we can't let the Bible not explain itself. Because you know what these people need? I'm going to honor them with the word of God. They need Leviticus chapter 20. Look at verse 13. If a man also lieth with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Sarah McBride, the only hope she should give her transgender is that they'd all get a bullet in their head. That's what I hope she inspires for all of them. I hope she inspires all of them to die, to get AIDS and die already. And you know what? When man fails to implement God's punishments, God goes ahead and puts them in there. God gives them disease. God gives them some kind of a destruction or evil to come upon them. It's a death style, my friend. These people die young on purpose. There's a reason. You know what? She's not the only one that should be put to death or it or whatever you want to call it. Kamala Harris. Look what it says in verse 10. And the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. The Bible says that adulteresses should be put to death. Kamala Harris should be dragged out in the streets and stoned to death today. Amen. All of our leaders, virtually. And you know who campaigns for these Democrats and these? The celebrities. They've already fallen on these categories too. Drag every celebrity out in the street and kill them. Drag all of our leaders out into this nation and kill them. That's what the Bible says. You know what? Our country should be ashamed today when only people that should be put to death are leading it. I wonder why the death penalty is deteriorating in this nation so much. I wonder why California keeps lessening the penalty for pedophiles in this nation. And you know what? Joe Biden and his son Hunter should be investigated for all the potential pedophilia they've been involved in. And they should be found guilty and put to death as well. These sick, perverted, disgusting freaks. Go to Genesis chapter 19. You say, I don't like this sermon. I don't know why you're so mean and harsh. Why you're so judgmental. Oh, Pastor Shelley, you're just judging everyone. Well, here's my question. At what point are you going to start judging America? At what point are you going to finally say, wow, this is bad? You know what? I feel like it's going to be when it's too late. Hey, and there was a person in the Bible that waited too long to judge the filth in his city. He waited too long to say something about the abominations going on in his city. And when he finally did, it was too late. Look at Judges chapter 19. The Bible says in verse number 1, and there came two angels of Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. And tarry all night and wash your feet. And you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay. But we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. You know what the Bible's telling us? A couple things. First of all, Sodom was wicked as hell. Sodom, every single person had been corrupted. All of them. All the people from every quarter. You say, when will the Sodomites stop? Never. They have every single person on their side. 99.999% voted Democrat and 99.9% were all filthy, disgusting Sodomites. And just some visitors come in, they have to have them too. They have to defile them too. And Lot comes out and he says, hey, don't do wickedly. This is wicked. This is bad. And he says, what do they say to him? Notice what they say to him. And they said again, this one fellow came in a sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. You know why they're saying that? Because he's never judged them ever before. They didn't say, here's the guy that constantly was judging us. Here's the guy that was always telling us how wicked it was. Well, we knew Lot was going to come against us. They're saying, who are you? And you know how long Lot's been in Sodom? Decades. Decades. And he won't judge. I guess he has that whore's forehead. He's just not ashamed of the country, of the city that he lives in. He still lets his daughters. Look, if every single guy's a faggot and his two daughters are married, you know what that calculation equals? He married his daughters to faggots. What kind of a sick father-in-law, what kind of a sick dad to marry? And look, whenever it's clear they married them, because then he's like, hey, go get your sons-in-law, and he goes out to talk to them. And they still think he's mocking. After they've been blinded physically, they still think he's mocking about the fact that the city's going to be destroyed. Look, these people are insatiable. These people are implacable. There's nothing going to placate them. They're wicked. They're evil. And here's my question. How many faggots have to be in America for you to finally say that it's wicked? Are you going to be like Lot and wait until they rip the children out of your arms to harm them, to hurt them? Is that when you're going to finally say something? Now all of a sudden you're going to judge. Oh, now all of a sudden you'll say something. Oh, now all of a sudden, hey, where's that whore's forehead? You should be ashamed of your leadership today. America should be ashamed of the filth and the smut. And hey, where are all the Christians this morning getting up and preaching against this filth? They must all have a whore's forehead because they're not ashamed of the leadership. You know what? They will be, America's not great. And, you know, they're not going to call out the verses in the Bible, though. They're not going to call out the filth. They're not going to call for the death of these people. They just know that it's dangerous out there. You know, they just put their sermon on private, and they just tell their congregation it's dangerous outside. It's the Lot sermon, the Lot Baptist Church. You come and they say, hey, it's perilous out there. It's dangerous out there. And you know what? Finally, when the sodomite knocks on their door, they'll be like, this is wicked. But you can't get them to say it before then because they love living in Sodom. You know what? I don't love living in Sodom. And then people give it, move. It's like, where? Yeah. The whole world lieth in wickedness, my friend. That doesn't mean I can't be mad about Sodom. That doesn't mean I can't be mad about America, too. You're sick. Go to Romans chapter 8. And you know what? You can sit in your little house with Lot and quote Romans 8:28 all day long, but that doesn't mean it's true. And you know what? I get sick and tired of watching our country accept the worst filth and the worst abomination, and they're like, well, all things work together for good. That's a stupid application of that verse. Oh, did all things work together for good, Lot, when you had sodomites breaking down your door? Hey, did all things work together for good, Lot, when you had to flee your city and your wife turned to a pillar of salt? Hey, Lot, did all things work together for good when you had to go dwell in a cave? Hey, Lot, did all things work together for good whenever your daughters lay with you in the night and you became a grandpa and a father in the same moment? You sick, perverted Kentuckian. Sorry if you're from Kentucky. Oh, all things work together for good. Yeah, there's more to that verse. What does it say? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Ooh. Hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what the whole essence of Romans chapter number 8 is? Not walking in the flesh, walking in the spirit. He literally says in verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He says in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Hey, Christians that are saved but walking in the flesh, they're not pleasing God. And you know what? All things are not going to work together for good to them. You know all things are going to work together for good too are the ones that love God, the ones that are serving God, the ones that are seeking God. And the whole essence of this is, hey, when you're serving God and you're on the right path and some kind of persecution or tribulation or evil comes against you, God is going to be able to use that for good. Hey, Joseph wasn't doing anything wrong, but you know what? He was thrown in the pit. Joseph wasn't doing anything wrong. He got thrown in prison. But then God used that evil for good. But you know what? Lot's evil was not used for good, my friend. Lot was buffeted for his faults. And you know what? He gave heritage to two of the worst countries ever, the Moabites and the Ammonites. And you know where abortion comes from? Them. Abortion comes from these sick, disgusting freaks. And you know what? It started with the feminist movement of his daughters, the older and the younger, that lie with their father. They're like, I have to have seed. You know how many women just go to the sperm bank today and just have to birth a child? It's wicked. And the same women love abortion at the same time. It's psycho. Look, our country should be ashamed of our leaders. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Pastor Shelley, this doesn't seem like a very positive sermon. Well, have you read the book of Jeremiah? It goes from bad to horrible to worse to destruction. That's the story. And you know what the future of America is? From the bad to the worst to horrible destruction. You know what positive message I have for America? At least you got some salt in it. That's about all. But you know what? There's a problem. There's a lot of salt that's losing its saltiness today. And we need to get salty. Otherwise, God's not going to preserve us very long. You say, hey, I want my family to, you know, have a good upbringing, and I want them to have friends, and I want them a good place. Well, get saltier. Don't have that horse forehead. Be ashamed of your country today. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Say, hey, Pastor Shelley, if we could just start a civil war, if we could just get these people out of office, it would fix everything. No, it wouldn't. We should be ashamed of our leadership. We should be ashamed of our president. We should be ashamed of our vice president. We should be ashamed of the House of Representatives. We should be ashamed of the Senate. We should be ashamed of all these branches of the devil. We should be ashamed of the celebrities and the physical leaders today. But you know what's way worse? The spiritual leaders of today. We should be ashamed of the spiritual leaders today. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 13. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 13. And we're tossing around the Bible a lot, but we need to look at a lot of verses this morning because I feel like we've forgotten how shameful our country is. I feel like we've forgotten how shameful our nation is. Because of all our prosperity, it blinds us to the evil and to the wickedness that's going on around us. Because of the fact that no one virtually in this room is going to struggle on where they're going to get their meal, their next meal, where no one really struggles on where they're going to sleep tonight, on the fact we have so much prosperity and so much wealth, people are more interested in how they're going to spend their 401k this morning than the spiritual devastation of this nation. Well, as long as I have a future with my money, I'm good. But what about a spiritual future? Does that even matter to you? Do you care to have a church in the future? Well, as long as I got a 401k, I'm good. Look, we need to talk about the spiritual battle today. Look at 1 Kings chapter 13, look at verse 33. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. You know what I think about our pastors and our leaders today? It's like the lowest people. We should not just find somebody, hey, you want to be a pastor? Sure, let's give you a certificate, $20, $50. Oh, okay, Bible college. No, it's $30,000. Come for $30,000. Our education level will be about a sixth grade reading level, and we won't teach you any Bible. But we'll give you a certificate, and you can be a pastor. Whosoever will may come. Hey, the Pentecostals will ordain an 18-year-old as a pastor. Not married, not just, I've been called to be a pastor. Oh, okay, you have. We don't want to get in the way of God's calling now, do we? You know what God's calling is always going to line up with? The Bible. You show me God's calling and I'll show you the Bible. Go to Jeremiah chapter 5. Let's look at a lot of Jeremiah here. You know what the problem is in Jeremiah? You know, it doesn't really bring up a lot about the princes, it does. You know, it brings up a lot about the priests, the prophets. The people that are preaching. You know what would change America? The preaching of God's word. That's the only thing that can cure America. You know what? It needs to start with a lot of shame. Here's the problem with Jeremiah's ministry. The people already had a hoarse forehead. They couldn't be ashamed. You could just point out all their sin, all their filth, all the wickedness that they'd done, just point blank. You could just have a long rap sheet, and they're just like, so what? Just, I've done no wickedness. How Kamala Harris is. Sick. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 13. It used to be, you know, you're so uncomfortable, you're more uncomfortable than a whore in church. Used to be the phrase. Today, the whore is behind the pulpit. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 13. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. They're just hot air. Verse 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. You say, oh man, they're preaching lies. You know what's the horrible thing? The next phrase. The next phrase is the horrible thing. And my people love to have it so. Sick. It's sick. It's disgusting how you can literally point out someone preaching false doctrine after false doctrine after false doctrine, and then just people flood in that person's church. It's sick. But the Bible says these people love to have it so. They love to be lied to. They love to be told Trump is their savior. They love to be told America's great. They love to be singing hymns like God Bless America this morning. I went to an independent fundamental Baptist church, and the day after they passed that sodomy marriage was legal, you know what they sang as the auditorium? God Bless America. And you know what? Their people love to have it so. You know what I didn't sing that morning? Any of the songs. I felt embarrassed. I felt ashamed that I was in God's house singing such a horrible song in tribute to the whore, in tribute to the filth and the sodomy of this nation. Oh, well, you just don't have a positive message. Well, read Jeremiah. Where's his positive message? You know, it's one of the longest books in the Bible. Hey, let's go to a longer one. Isaiah, not a positive message. How about Ezekiel? I guess you just don't like the middle of the Bible, do you? Hey, what's the positive message for the unsaved in Revelation? I don't know. What's the positive message in anywhere in the Bible for the unsaved? The whole world lies in wickedness, my friend. They're all going to be destroyed. It's sick that people love lies. Look, you should hate lies. Only people who love the truth, though, hate the lie. Go to chapter 6 and look at verse 13. For from the least of them, even in the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even in the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they commit abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. You know why they're not ashamed? Because no one's getting behind the pulpit and preaching the Bible. They're getting up, come as you are. Jesus loves you where you're at. Raise your hand if you want to be on Team Jesus. Hands all over the building. Everyone got saved again this week too. Let's all get saved next week and the next week, and let's all get baptized 100 times and raise our hand 100 times. I remember a false prophet that I grew up with. He said he knew that his dad was saved because he raises his hand for every invitation. And that's how I knew that he wasn't saved. You don't get saved every single week, my friend. You get saved one time or you didn't get saved. Go to chapter 10. Go to chapter 10. But the past, look, America's no different. You know how many churches exist in America? In 2006, there was 414,000 churches. In 2012, there's 384. It's on the decline. But even with that number, you know that in America, that's 1,000-to-1 ratio, basically? 1,000 people per one church. That's enough to satisfy, theoretically. I mean, you could have that satisfy. The problem is that, you know how many of those churches are bad? Almost about 384,000. Makes me think of Jerusalem when, hey, all the prophets are preaching lies and people love to have it so. They're not interested in the truth today. They're not interested in God's word today. Look at chapter 10, verse 21. For the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Because the pastors in this country are complete morons. They're complete idiots. They're imbeciles. They're foolish. They're dumb. They're like an animal today. You know what? It's going to scatter God's people. And you know what? The stupid COVID nonsense has made it where virtually nobody's even going to church. So whatever even form of godliness exists in this country is just completely being washed away. This country is going to the devil quick. This country is going to change overnight quick. And you know what Obama said, Biden said, when I was listening, I can't quote this, so don't take me verbatim, but essentially what he was saying is as soon as he's elected, he's like, all those precious moments of hugging a family member, of hugging a loved one, of going to weddings, of going to funerals and all these things, we can't do that until COVID's under control. I don't know what he's going to pass down the pike, but if it matches up with those words, I mean, it's going to be a cold day in hell when Biden lets anybody go to church. I'm still going to church. That guy's a sick freak. But you know what? None of these liberals are going to church. Pretty much God's just going to separate the wheat from the chaff. There's going to be one church out there that you can go to. And you need to go to church. You need to serve God, because it's going to get worse and worse and worse. When do you think the government's going to be like, man, we have so much control over all the businesses and all the people and all the money? Maybe we should give that back. When are they going to do that? Well, when America starts getting ashamed of its leaders, but it doesn't look like we're doing that anytime soon. Jeremiah chapter 14, look at verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13. Let's get some more of this positive message here. Verse 13. Then I said, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, ye shall not see sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Oh, they're preaching a nice message. There was that good message I was telling you about. Oh, Pastor Shelley, you should have kept reading. There was a positive message here. Well, okay, let's keep reading this positive message. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. Oh, if I just kept reading, I realized that was a lie. He said, hey, I think there's going to be peace in America. Lie. I think there's going to be prosperity in America. Lie. Hey, I think there's going to be good things in America. Lie. He's like, well, that's not positive. Well, would you rather me just get up and just lie to you? Everything's good. God's going to bless you. This country is just so blessed. There's prosperity and wealth. You know what's coming to America? Persecution. You know what's coming to America? Affliction. You know what's coming to America? Oppression. That's what's coming in America. You say, how do you know that? Because we have women ruling over us. The Bible already told me. Because we have the wicked. When the wicked bear rule, it didn't say the people rejoice. It said they mourn. You know why they're mourning? Because it's bad. Not because it's good. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You say, well, this isn't a positive message. Well, would you rather me lie to you? Or would you rather just have the truth so you can prepare yourself for the spiritual battle that's out there? Go to chapter 23. Go to chapter 23. We could just read, you might just read Jeremiah, okay? Verse number 1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and have driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Go back to 22 and look at verse 21. Flip backwards, look at 22, look at verse 21. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. Oh, Pastor Shelley, things are going well. Yeah. God's trying to warn you in your prosperity, but you're not listening because you have that horse forehead, don't you, America? This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. You know what? If you won't be ashamed by hearing God's word, then he'll literally make you ashamed. He'll decimate and destroy you so bad, The only thing to cover you will be shame. How can you look at America where our top pastors, our top preachers are Joel Osteen and not be embarrassed? How could you? I mean, people look at America, they're like, oh, who are your pastors? Joel Osteen. Victoria Olstein. Kenneth Copeland. T.D. Jakes. Joyce Meyer. I mean, what person would you look to of any popularity and say, oh, man, I really like that guy? Look, the biggest churches, the biggest pastors are jokes. They're phonies. They're disgusting. They're filthy. How about Todd White? The guy looks like a junkie freak. He doesn't look like a man of God. It's sick today. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. America should be ashamed of its pastors. America should be ashamed of its priests, of its leaders today, because they're all a bunch of phonies and fakes and frauds, the televangelists. And look, America has given its money to these whores, these spiritual whores, sucking in their money. I mean, Kenneth Copeland bragged. He bragged about all the money that he's received being $1 billion. A billion. Can you imagine if churches like us were just given 1/10 of that, what we could do for the Lord? I mean, the missionaries and the programs that we could do. And look, we don't need their money. We can still do it for free. I could preach the gospel for free. I don't need money. But America, it's giving money to preaching lies. It's giving money to filth and abomination and smut. Like, the last thing I'm going to do is tithe at a bad church. I'm not going to fund the devil. I'm not going to fund evil and wickedness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what's the biggest shame on the planet? Is a pastor preaching lies. Is a preacher preaching lies. You should be embarrassed. You should be ashamed of yourself for preaching anything false. It's an embarrassment. Yet you point out someone preaching lies and they dig in. You're a joke. You're a fool. How can you dig into lies when the Bible preaches it? Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. What a shame and embarrassment for anybody to preach lies. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Notice this, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil to say of you. Hey, when you preach, shame should exist on the other side of the pulpit, not on this side of the pulpit. That's the biggest embarrassment. You should be a laughingstock when you preach lies behind God's pulpit. You say, oh, you guys mock people who are preaching lies. You better believe it. It's a shame. It's an embarrassment, and you should fix it. You know what's a shame? Speaking in tongues. That's the embarrassment of our country. You know, you try to take this garbage to other countries, you would be a laughingstock. They're like, oh, you guys rolling on the floor barking like a dog? That's Christianity, huh? Okay. The pre-trib rapture. Hey, that's an embarrassment. You should feel ashamed of yourself for believing that. Not just believing it, teaching it. All the dispensational lies. Hey, you know what should be, you should be laughed at for preaching out of the modern Bibles. These things are so bad. Look, people get up and preach out of the message. The slimy juice of the marshmallow. I mean, you should be mocked and ridiculed for using these versions. You should be mocked and ridiculed for these doctrines. You know, Peter Ruckman said, you know, that his wife, like, threw herself out of a car at 50 miles an hour as a form of persecution. You should be laughed at for that. How can you say that you're a good husband when your wife is jumping out of the car that's moving? He said that they were sending their wedding rings to him in the mail during their church services. That's not persecution. That's you sucking as a person. That should be embarrassing. Look, if my wife sent her wedding ring back to me in the middle of the service, I would just immediately quit. That would be so embarrassing. I would just be like, I can't even believe my own wife. Yet, you know what? They have a whore's forehead today. They can't be ashamed. And you know what? These rucktards, they all love a divorce. That's a shame. They love adultery. That's a shame. They all love preaching lies. That's a shame. I don't care how good you draw. You suck at life. You should be ashamed of yourself. And you know what? America should be ashamed of supporting these guys. Go to Jeremiah chapter 2. Here's my last group that we should be ashamed of. We should be ashamed of ourselves. We should be ashamed of our leaders. We should be ashamed of the pastors today. But we should be ashamed of the people of America today. We should be ashamed of ourselves today when we look at what our nation has turned into. Jeremiah chapter 2, look at verse 34. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. He said, you are killing babies left and right. He says, I don't even have to go in private. It's open. Planned Parenthood on every corner, murdering babies in plain sight. It's not a secret search. And you know what these people say? I haven't even sinned. It's sick. All the abortion in our country. Go to chapter 7, look at verse 30. Chapter 7, verse 30. Hey, there's truly no new thing under the sun. You know what Jerusalem looks like? America. You know America looks like Jerusalem. And you know how God feels about it? Anger. Jeremiah 7, look at verse 30. Or chapter 7, verse 30. The children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my heart. God said that abortion is so evil. Abortion is so wicked. He couldn't even think of this. It's unimaginable. There are certain sins that a child or an innocent person would never even think of if the Bible didn't tell you about it. I remember as a child reading, I read Genesis, Leviticus, or Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, like the most, because I always like would peter out and then I'd go back and I just kept like reading it. And I remember reading Leviticus chapter 20 and seeing all the disgusting sins in there and thinking like, who would ever do this? I remember reading and thinking like, why is that even in the Bible? No one would do this. And then it's like, oh yeah, wait, everyone's doing it in America. It's so disgusting. It's so filthy. God is saying, I don't even want to think about this stuff. It's so bad. Yet, it's everyone's street corner. I mean, one in like four or five women have an abortion. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if you can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. He said, hey, you go up and down the street. I'm a Christian. Yep, I'm a Christian. Hey, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Hey, you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. And he's saying, you know how many of those people actually seek truth? None. Isn't that true? When you go out and you preach the gospel, everybody's a Christian. Everybody goes to church. He's saying, can I find just one person that judges? Oh, y'all are so judgmental. Yeah, I'm preserving you. Because God said if he could find one person that judged in the entire area, he would pardon. Just one. Is there anybody that'll judge today? Is there anybody that'll say things that are wicked today? How about fornication? In 2010, only 5% of women were virgin on their wedding night. In 1970, women who had 10 plus partners before getting married was only 2%. In 2000, it's 14%. In 2010, it's 18%. Do you want your son to marry a woman that's been with 10 plus people? What kind of sick, disgusting... Look, fornication is so rampant. And you know, the 5% of women is probably like 0.05% of men. That's horrible in our nation. Will anybody judge fornication anymore? I feel like fornication is done judging. Nobody judges that anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody's ashamed of fornication anymore. It's praised. I mean, every country song, every rap song, every rock song, what are they praising? Fornication today, aren't they? What are every TV show praising? Fornication today. Look, even the people in my life, even family members, even my friends, you know what? They praise fornication. They lived together without getting married. It's like, well, somebody judge. It's like you point out, that's wicked. And they're like, what are you talking about? Everybody does it. I don't care how many people do it. Everybody in Jeremiah chapter 5 wouldn't judge. I'll judge. You're welcome. Look at verse 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods, like the gods of horses. When I have fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? America is filled with whorehouses today. America is full of adultery today, of people that admit it. 25% of men admit to being an adulterer. Admit it. 15% of women admit to being an adulteress today. It's sick. How about the bastards out there? In 1990, 28% of all children born out of wedlock, 28%, bastards. In 2016, 40% of children are born out of wedlock. Bastards. I mean, we're a nation of bastards. We're a nation of fornication. We're a nation of adultery today, and that's just from the people that admit it. You know why they admit it? Because they have a whore's forehead. They're not even ashamed of it anymore. They're just like a troop standing outside the harlot's house. Look at chapter 6, verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hear. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. You get up and you preach the Bible, and they're like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like Jeremiah. I don't like Isaiah. I like the verses that Biden quotes for me, that the devil whispered in his ear and twisted out of context. They have no delight in the Bible. You know what? I love the Bible. And I'm going to keep referring to the Old Testament. Sorry. We're going to use both the Old and the New. Because you know what? The Old Testament's written for our admonition. It's an example for us, to those that should after live ungodly. And you know what? It looks like we're living ungodly. Wake up. You know, the New Testament is basically just a whole bunch of quotes from the Old Testament. So if you like the New Testament, you got to like the Old Testament, my friend. How about drugs? 11% of our nation had illicit drugs in the past month. 31 million people have drug disorders in America. 31 million. How about the lazy? There's over 500,000 people that are homeless every night in America. Not only that, 59 million are on welfare. 59 million. We're not socialist yet. Yeah, we are. I mean, what do you define as socialism? Where we literally redistribute all the wealth of the rich to 59 million? Is that enough? It's going to be a lot more after Biden has 4 years. 7.2 million on Medicaid. Our nation is just a handout machine. Because Biden said that he's going to put all 11 million illegals in citizenship, and they're, you know where they're going? On welfare and Medicaid. He's going to get your tax dollars. Don't worry. Jeremiah chapter 7. How can you not be ashamed of our nation today? How can we not be ashamed of ourselves? And you know what? I'm not calling anybody's name out, but you know what? I know people in this room are guilty of a lot of sins I just brought up. Fornication, bastards, adultery, drugs, being lazy. You should be ashamed of yourself. We should be ashamed of our sin today. We shouldn't be like the world. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. You know, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I'm not here to just continually rag on you. Amend your ways. We all have sin. We all have bad things that we've done. We've all screwed up. But you know what the shame is? When you won't fix it. The shame is when you won't amend your ways. The shame is when you don't like the truth anymore. The shame is when you get a whore's forehead and instead of amending your ways, you brag about your sin. You brag about your abortion and your adultery and your filth and your smut and your women leaders. How many people are bragging about women being in office? It's a shame. Verse number 4, trust you not in lying words. Everything that's on the news media. I mean, verse 5, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. What's the problem? They won't get right with God. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. What's the title of the sermon? America has a whore's forehead. Now, we could find leaders that maybe would be an exception. We could find pastors that are an exception. We could find people that are the exception. But you know what? We need to be that exception. Don't be like the rest of the world. Don't be like the rest of America. Don't be like the rest of the leaders and the pastors and the people of this country. Be different. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, as we get closer to the end, hey, as the world gets more wicked, we need to be exhorting one another to get into church. Why? Because without church, you're going to get that whore's forehead. I'm trying to bring shame on the sin today so that people stop sinning, so that people will stop making themselves filthy and abominable in God's sight. You know what? You can live in Goshen while Egypt goes to hell. You know what? You can only do that when you're actually trusting the Lord, when you're serving God. And you know who should be embarrassed today, this morning? The people that didn't go to church. And if you didn't go to church this morning, and you're listening online, and you don't even feel bad about it, it's because you have a whore's forehead. Hey, it used to be a shame not to be in church. It used to be something you'd look down upon. It used to be when you hadn't been here for a while, you'd kind of come in and go sit in the back. And you know what? I don't give people a hard time when they miss church. I don't make people feel terrible. But you know what? They should. Hey, I don't make everyone in this room feel bad for their sin, but you should feel bad for your sin. What a shame to miss church. Oh, what were you missing it for? Oh, the whore of Babylon? Did you not get enough abortion and fornication and adultery and drugs this week? You needed more of that? You got too much of God's word outside these walls?
See, I don't like this sermon.
Well, apparently you don't like the words of God. Go to Mark chapter 8. You know, there's two people after this sermon. There's two responses to this sermon. One's ashamed of this sermon, and one's ashamed of America today. Look at Mark chapter number 8. Look at verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Hey, you want to be ashamed? Love the world. Be in the world. Serve the world. But how can you sit here and be ashamed of God's word? There are people, they're embarrassed to hear Jeremiah read. They're embarrassed to hear Isaiah read. They're embarrassed to hear Leviticus chapter number 20 read. You know who I'm embarrassed for? All the people guilty of those words that I read. Those are the people that should be ashamed. You know what? I'm never ashamed of God's word. I never look and think like, oh, who would say that out loud? I think, what a shame for all the people that hear this that it applies to. I don't think, wow, it's a shame, you know, when the Bible says that you're a bad person for not going to church. I feel bad for the people that didn't go to church. They should be ashamed. Hey, America that's not going to church, shame on you. Hey, you committing fornication, shame on you. Hey, you don't love the Bible? Shame on you. Hey, you don't like God's word? Shame on you. And you know what? You say, you're so mean, Pastor Shelley, shaming us. You know what? My shame is nothing compared to when Jesus comes and looks you in the face and shames you. Hey, when Peter looked back after denying Christ three times and he saw the face of Jesus, that's shame, my friend. He went out and wept bitterly. And you know what? If you can look in the face of Jesus Christ this morning and not see your sinful condition and not weep, you have a problem with your heart. When we read the Bible, you should weep for your sin. You should weep for your filth. You should weep for your smut. Would to God men would weep that their daughters are not virgins today. Would to God men would weep that their children are given to drugs. Would to God men would weep that their children go to churches where the pastor preaches lies. It's sick. It's filthy. It's disgusting. But you know why they don't? Because they have a whore's forehead.
Well, at least they're going to Joel Osteen's church. You know. They go to a Baptist church.
I don't care what it says on the sign. Are they preaching lies? Go to 2 Corinthians 6. I'll wrap up the sermon. We need to wake to righteousness is what the Bible says. Hey, you that are dead spiritually, wake up. This country's not going to get better. And you know what? For all those people that were hoping that they could just be like prosperous and rich in the future, that's going to be shattered. And maybe God wants to do that just so you get more spiritual. He's like, oh, you were going to just live in prosperity? I'll just take that away too. Just so you have nothing. Hey, you want to chase money? You're going to chase the wind and it's going to blow away from you. Biden's going to take it all. But you know what? I can still show up and I can still preach the Bible no matter what my bank account looks like. What's the application, Pastor Shelley? Well, here's the application. Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Stop loving this world today. Stop loving the filth of America today. Stop singing God Bless America in your heart and realize it's wicked. And realize that it's a shame. I feel embarrassed to be an American. When we go to other nations, we're so wicked and evil, they're just like, oh, America. Yeah, huh. The land of the whore. Kamala Harris. You know? It's a shame. And if you don't like my sermon, go to any other church and you'll never hear this. Because I guess you just love to be preached lies, don't you? Or just don't go to church. But I'm warning you, there'll come a day when you can get a whore's forehead and you won't even be ashamed of all the sins that I just brought up. You'll even brag about it. Oh, look at my... There's women that have shirts that say, like, I got an abortion. Like I voted or something. It's like, I'm going to wear Leviticus 20:13. That's the verse that I'm going to wear. I'm not ashamed of his words. I'm ashamed of America. Let's close in prayer. Thank you so much, Father, for your word. Thank you for giving us just clear commandments and clear instruction. Even though we live in a sinful and wicked and adulterous generation, that we have the opportunity to come out from them, come out from among them, that we have the opportunity to amend our ways, to not continue to be like them, to not continue to wallow in filth and smut and debauchery, but rather to serve you in holiness and in righteousness. And I pray that you would stir up people's hearts today, that they would be ashamed of sin. They'd be ashamed of wickedness. That America would begin to be ashamed of its leadership. That America would be ashamed of its pastors. That America would be ashamed of themselves. That we could turn to God. And that you could give us healing. But we know it's only through cleaning up our ways and seeking you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.